SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for another hour of your favorite sports gambling show.
What is this going to be?
Moneyline.
No! Are you kidding me? Humbly D!
With the two best hosts to ever do it.
I love my contract. Love my teammates.
Donnie Wrightside.
Do what the Sixers did, Charlotte. Just win 7 games a year for 4 years. Eventually, you'll find somebody, and you'll be on the upswing again if it works out in your favor.
And Kevin Walsh.
Let me tell you how crazy talented the NBA is right now. I'm not even trying to get into a debate. He's not even the most talented offensive big man in the NBA right now, in my honest opinion.
Are you kidding?
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
Thursday afternoon right here on the Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM Channel 159. It's Moneyline, the best hour of your day. The PGA Championship is underway and a lot of hot topics to get to over the next hour, which includes your phone calls. I'm Donnie, he's Kevin, and I just want to start here, Kevin, before you say anything, taking a look at some box scores last night, and this is how I feel. Now, what city rectifies this song, Kevin? And if there's any song that this is going to play over, not 1 3-point shot, not 2 3-point shots, 3 3-point shots for your boy, Jason Tatum, last night. K-Dub, how do you feel about that, man? How do you feel about that?
Oh, wow. You know what? A great one, Donnie. So, by hook or by crook, I was making money off this some way, right? So,
Did he get it late,
last
too?
Night.
Wasn't it late? Did he get it late, that final three?
No, so here's what I ended up playing. It was really funny. Yeah. I took him and Derek White to combine for 6. Minus 105.
Gotcha.
Now, Donnie, 5 in the first half, I said, listen, I need Derek White to bring me home. And he did, by the way. Mm-hmm. Derek White made the 6th 3, right, in order to put... I was like, man, I really hope he doesn't even make another one, Tatum. Like, just keep it going. They ended up getting to 7, right? Yeah. Which, again, it would have been appropriate if I would have climbed that ladder up to 8. I mean, like, yeah, of course, Tatum didn't make it happen. But money was made last night. That was a good one, though, DRS. The combination there, Derek White, Jason Tatum.
Yes, now I've been actually really struggling in the NBA, but I did make money last night. Now, hear me out on this. So, as we were trying to put together like a sound, you know, I don't want to say 3-point parlay, but that sort of notion where it's like, I'm not going to go high level. So, I ended up losing, Tuesday night. Wednesday, yesterday, I put together another good one. Everybody's heating up. Do you know who actually lost the parlay for me? Which was Darius Garland. Need him to make 2 3-point shots. It was $100, paid back like $450. But I saw the way it was going, and it looked like, again, I needed like a 3-point shot maybe out of, who was it? I think Strus had already been in the door, but Tatum, I had to make at least 2 3-point shots, and he got there. Yeah. So Tatum needed one more, and because a lot of my buckets already filled up early. So I'm like, you know what? I'm at least making money tonight. So I went right to FanDuel, because I bet on 365, but FanDuel had a little bit better pricing on the 3-point shots. I took Garland under 1.5 at plus 165 for a unit, saying, I don't care what it, like, if Tatum leaves me hanging in the second half and doesn't hit like a single 3-point shot, but he actually didn't even, I don't think he needed to get to the half. I think he knocked down a 3-point shot before the break to get to 2 of them. So then I was saying to myself, well, I'm still technically cheering on Garland, but it actually felt vindication when he finished with 0 3-point shots made and I still won money, because normally me, I would say, I'm just going to run this out. The guy's going to shoot 7 more 3-point shots in the second half and he'll probably make 2. I'm like, you know what? I'm not even tempting it. Just give me plus money on an NBA game for once in my life, and I did it. So I felt good, even though I wanted the bigger picture. It just didn't happen. But perfect segue over. Celtics 113-98. Cavaliers basically said, as a team, we hit our coach. Nobody wants to play. I'm a little bit injured. I just want to get home and get to my offseason. And away they go in the Celtics, who again played the hobbled Heat, the hobbled Cavaliers.
Yep.
Who knows if they're going to play the 48-minute men here in the New York Knicks and see if they can get to the NBA Finals. But put it this way, Kevin. The Celtics don't win this year, You got to break that team up because they will never win a championship. Never with this core.
I think it's incredible that the best team by a ton in the East has ended up with this path. They finished 14 games in front of the New York Knicks, who had the second seed. They won 64 games. They finished with 7 more wins than the next closest team in the Western Conference, the Boston Celtics. And instead, now listen, when you get a 1 seed, you are earned an easy path. But it does not mean you earn injured basketball teams. And the fact that the Heat didn't have Jimmy and the Cavs were without Donovan for the final two, who were already without Jared Allen for the whole series, and just to throw it on top of it, Caris LeVert was like, I can't go tonight either, just even though I'm going to get 20 shots. It's why the Celtics stuff, it doesn't matter. You know, it was really funny last night inside the NBA, and they were kind of tempted to sing the praises of Boston for another big win, and Draymond's like, nobody cares. Nobody cares. They get to the conference finals. Nobody cares unless this team wins a championship, right? He's right. Certainly, nobody cares that they made the Eastern Conference finals. Not with what we've seen so far. How could we?
No, and it's we're waiting it out because also we've seen the Boston Celtics do this before. It's like, hey, man, I've never seen the Boston Celtics get to the Eastern. No, it seems like every year they're getting to at least the Eastern Conference Finals. It's up to them to win it, and they are getting an easy path because you were thinking like, all right, if the Philadelphia 76ers are healthy with Joel Embiid, which he never was going to be healthy, all right, well, if Milwaukee catch lightning in a bottle and they have all their stars healthy, they never got healthy here, got bounced early, and now you're taking on a team in the Cavaliers that is immediately injured before you even got to play the Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler went down. It's like all signs are pointing for the Celtics to move forward. Tatum yesterday, 25 points, 10 rebounds, and 9 assists. Mobley, 33-7 for Cleveland, who, again, valiant effort for the Bulls, and depending on where you got that line, 13.5, 14.5, 15.5, 16.5, you see, that final score at 113-98 certainly made a difference. So I always thought the Celtics technically were the best team in the NBA, but I'm starting to buy into this notion. Like, I understand the Celtics are going to get to the NBA Finals, and you can't win the NBA Finals, Kevin, unless you get there, and they're going to be on easy street. But I keep hearing like the talking heads nationally. Like, it doesn't. I don't care what the Celtics are doing. The winner is coming out of the West. Now, if you want to start to prove that point a little bit more, we'll talk about the game tonight. The Denver Nuggets go and say, okay, we go down 0-2, then we pull off 4 straight victories over Minnesota. Now you got my attention. But until that happens, it's the Celtics' clean pass in there. And they just have extra time to get ready for Porzingis to come back into that lineup. And they're just a clean basketball team all the way through. And I think they do get penalized for, oh, you should have swept both of those teams. Maybe so. But you still won 5-5. That's pretty good.
Yeah, yes, Boston is handling their business. And Boston themselves, they are not healthy, right? Without Kristaps unavailable for the entirety of the series. So it does matter. I will say, I think how invested or how much I'll trust Boston, it'll depend on the matchup. One thing that has been fascinating, this has been true all year, Donnie, and it's true again. Celtics fans don't think they can beat Denver. None of them think they can beat Denver. I'll end up on Boston if they play Denver, most likely. But I'm not convinced Denver gets out of the West anyway. So that's kind of where I'm at. Look, them coming back against Minnesota is not the most stunning thing in the world. Yeah, I said it when it was 2-0. So I'm not stunned. I think for Minnesota to get that type of game out of Ant, you're always going to get smashed, right? He was under 20 points. You have absolutely no hope in a game like that. You're back home. Yeah. All you got to do is force the game 7, and then you go from there. That's the thing. With a game 7, they're so tough, right? They can be so close to the vest. You just got to force the game. And for Minnesota, can this team who started this postseason 6-0, right, just win a home game in this series?
That's where that deep breath comes in. Like, there's a couple angles I really like in this basketball game, but a side really isn't one of those. As a fan, like, I like the Minnesota Timberwolves story, and I love game sevens because it's extra content, extra games, and this is a fun series if you want to bet. It's not like, oh, I don't know who's going to play well or not. You got superstars on both sides that are going to shoot the lights out, put up a lot of points, a lot of rebounds, a lot of assists, so it's been fun. 3-point shots are following as well. So we'll tee this up for segment number 2. Boy, was I impressed with the Mavericks last night. I mean, it wasn't so so much that they went into, you know, OKC and got that win. The way they got that win, 104-92, playing defense. SGA still got his 30 points, wasn't good enough. Luka Doncic, I would hate to see if he was actually healthy for this playoff run, what he would actually do. Woo, boy. It's Moneyline on a Thursday. We got a lot to get to. Make sure you keep the dial right here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back. And sometimes, you know, I forget about things that I was angry at just a few minutes ago. Sometimes it takes producers to get in my ear and just mention a certain team of where I want to start getting angry with. No, it's not the Dallas Cowboys, who finally had a schedule that's going to put them on the road on a true Thursday night road game, something they've never had after a short break. It's always Dallas gets that. But, well, Dallas plays that Thursday game. Yeah, after the Thursday game at home on Thanksgiving the following week is usually a Dallas game on the road, full 7 days. They don't have that. Now, they are playing the Giants. By the way, Kevin, did you see what was going on Twitter today? And what I mean by that is a certain football team thought probably behind the scenes, our fans are going to love this, man. Wait till they see our 100-year anniversary uniform we're going to wear. And if anybody hasn't followed just yet, the Giants released their, I forget what they're calling it, whatever it is, it's ridiculous. They put out a uniform today that when I was live on the air, sort of caught my eye. I always have Twitter or slash X open on my desktop. And I looked at it and I'm like, that's got to be a fake account that's just making fun of, like, what happens if we put, like, a real stupid jersey on a team and just send them out there? The Giants literally must have went to the Montreal Canadiens and said, look, don't sue us. We want to wear your hockey jersey as our football uniform to signify to our fans, look at our history here. And my goodness, because usually when you get new jerseys, and it doesn't always work, but 99% of the time, your fan base will eat those up, your fan base will buy those, and they will enjoy it. When the Philadelphia Eagles, before they went to Kelly Green's, this was maybe, I think, opening of the, I want to say, Kevin, the 2010 season. They played at home, and they wore the throwbacks to for the 1960 team. So, yeah, exactly, it was 2010. 50-year anniversary of the Eagles winning the NFL championship. And it was like, man, this is awesome. And people couldn't get enough of that, because that's what the people want. But 2 years, I think, before that, Kevin, or a year before that, they opened up at home looking like the Los Angeles Lakers, and nobody bought the jersey. It was ridiculous, and nobody understood why they did that. So let's fast forward to the Giants here. If you are in that building, like let's just say we're going to release it, the press release is coming out, let's see, and every single comment is like, this is disgusting, this is hilarious, this should be fake, this is the worst jersey I've ever seen. How do you think they feel inside that Giants front office building today when they release their uniform and get widely panned like, who the hell made this up?
It is actually stunning because I am more prone to liking the wacky uniform than what was the color rush, Donnie, right? I imagine, I don't even think we were working together. I imagine you hated the color rush.
No, I didn't hate the color rush that much. It didn't. Put it this way. A lot of times I just turn the TV on and get angry at things. Like, I get angry at the NBA a lot because I used to joke, like, well, I don't watch the NBA all that much, like on a night-to-night basis, hardcore. If I tune into a game for 10 seconds, I don't know who either the teams are, I get angry at that because that's not the way it should be. So go ahead. I just wanted to put that out there. Go ahead.
No, and listen, for me, I enjoyed the. I felt like people. Some like these are. I don't know. What are we doing here? I like a. But that's probably me being an NBA fan, right? Billion new jerseys every season. I saw those Giants shirts. I was like, oh, those are hideous. I don't know anybody who had a different react, right? It is a very, very ugly uniform that will do little to no sales. And that's kind of, right? Isn't that like the sneaky part of this all?
And Kevin, they're bad. And when I say bad, they're not expected to win two football games, but they're not expected to contend for anything. So it's almost like, let's throw the fans a bone. And I always say, you know, when you try to equate like what your fan base would want, it's very easy. If you're an owner that understands what the people like, can you imagine the Giants? They know they're not going to be that good. Hold on. They think they're going to be good. We know they're not going to be good, right? So you say to yourself, this is going to be a commemorative year. I'm going to give them four options and we're going to put it out there, and we'll give them a month to vote on it, and the fans are happy about that because, like, hey, look, this one won. Like, you're kidding me. Like, you look at that jersey that came out. Again, looks like the Montreal Canadiens hockey jersey is now a football jersey, which has no, like, what we, and I saw the tweet that came out. This is our history. The 1933 pants, the 1938 socks, the 1929 helmet. I'm like, what are you, nobody remembers the Giants as any part of any one of these things that you're putting out here. So the fact that you would release that is ludicrous to begin with. But if you just said to your fan base, like, imagine this, Kevin. It's our commemorative history. We're going to wear our 1986 Super Bowl winning uniforms. The fans would have ate that up, bought it right off the rack, thought it was the greatest thing in the history of the world. But instead, they went this way. It's almost like, to me, Kevin, you look at the Washington Commanders and their rebrand, right? Do you remember following this along? Because it was, first of all, the worst name in sports was Washington Football Club. They had to get rid of that. But their fans were like, all right, we're going to have a vote on this. What would you guys like? The Red Wolves won by a landslide. And Washington's like, we already made our minds up. It's not going to be the Red Wolves. So thanks for the votes, but you're not getting your way. And it was just, the Commanders is such a terrible name. The W looks so stupid on the helmet. And it just doesn't fit that organization. That's the only one I can think of. But don't people get fired over this? Like, Major League Baseball, Kevin, the uniforms, right? Came out this year. It's like, these are the absolute most trash things we've ever seen. They tried to play it off for like 3 weeks. All right, we give up. We know we messed up. Nike, I don't know what's going on over here. We're going back to the old lettering. Everything's going to be the same as before. Like, heads will roll.
I think it's also one of those things, right? Nostalgia plays.
Yes.
Not this far back, though.
Like, that's your great-great-grandfather's team.
Donnie, the video that the New York Giants, the guys are literally wearing leather helmets. I mean, literally wearing leather helmets. This is, like, to your point, right? Also, what is this century red? What is even, because 1939, Donnie, I mean, I can do the math, is not 100 years ago. So what is that even, what is even the basis here?
I don't
what
know.
What was, like, 100 years ago?
It caught me, Kevin, so off guard that, like, you know, Ben's asking me questions like the NBA. Like, I just wanted to stop the segment. Like, can a producer just pull this up? Because I can't even focus on what's going on now. So you could probably hear me typing away during that segment because, you know, when someone gets really fired up on social media, you got to keep typing. Yes, I think that's what it is. Like, here's our commemorative season. It's like, nobody asked for this year. Like, it's... And again, like, there were people, Kevin, months in advance designing this stuff and getting it through. And, like, John Merrill, who might be the worst owner in sports right now, just completely tone deaf for the Giants and ruined, like, an iconic product out here. I don't understand, like, where this came from. It's like, look, we're probably going to be downtrodden. Nobody wants Daniel Jones. We decide to pick a wide receiver instead of our future quarterback. Let's give him a cool uniform just to be happy. And they give him this. And the best part about it, Kevin, they'll probably wear this on, like, Thanksgiving Day in front of, like, 100 million viewers on TV, get absolutely bombed out in those ugly jerseys, and it's going to be so glorious to watch that happen. But there you go, a whole Giant segment in the offseason. We'll be right back. Don't you wait up any longer. Why? The NBA is coming up next. We'll preview it tonight.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Party people, yeah, we're going to get to the NBA in a second, but did you know there is a PGA Championship going on right now from Valhalla Country Club, and a course record was set, 62 by Xander Schauffele, 9-under, three strokes clear of Tony Finau and Sahith Theegala. How about that, Kev? Do you have any Xander in your profile?
No, I didn't. You know, the only guy who I looked at price-wise that I thought was interesting pre-tournament was Rahm. But what I realized, Donnie, is just for me, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And unless I – look, if I have enough time, I'll get in pre-tournament, right? But I'm not a regular golf bettor. And we know this because we know plenty of guys that bet golf week in, week out. And for them, you know, they bet a 14-1. Like, oh, God, a little short that number, right? And they want to hit 50s, 60s, right? And, you know, 120s. Mm-hmm. But for me – who, again, does a lot of straight betting. Like, Donnie, I bet Xander right now plus 240. That's a heck of a ticket, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a heck of a number. So I didn't play anything. I'm tempted at betting Xander, though, quite frankly, right? Because you're right, 3 up on Finau Tagala, 4 up on Rory, next best odds. What is he, 5 up on Brooks. I just want to see where Scotty finishes.
Yep, right? And Scotty right now, as I'm watching on TV, the Sharks ready to tee off right now. And we don't know how he's going to play because we think it might be a detriment that he hasn't played in 2 weeks.
Correct.
Put it this way. There's two bets that I made today. They were both odds boosts. And the one was, you'll like this story, too. So this morning, I bet it last night. I had a free bet, so I put it in. I think the free bet was one of those from a home run night, which didn't work out in my favor, which, again, three guys the next day homered Kevin, and those were prices like plus 650 and plus 700. So never fails. You're not going to pick up money the day you're supposed to hit a home run. The very next day, we're bombing all over the yards. So next Tuesday, we'll find out and see if we can cash in this ticket. So I got a couple extra bets, but I used 25 on the Rory McIlroy bet, which was, Kevin, the first three holes he played today to be par or better. Now, talking with the boys before the show, like minutes before it went in, Ben couldn't get it in, but Friezo gets it in behind the scenes. So like, okay, I'm going to put this up like on my one monitor here so I can watch it throughout the morning. So as I read the bet, which I bet many times before, I'm like, this is great, man. I said, oh no, he's going to start off on the back nine, which meant he started off on 10 as opposed to one, because I thought it was going to be 1, 2, 3. Wasn't paying all that much attention to the tournament as is. Yeah. But like the first hole's a par 4, second hole's a 5, and the third is a 3. I'm like, good. Get your drive out of the way on the first hole, be somewhere around the green, two putt, get your par, and then you're ready for that par 5. We started on 10, which was a par 5. I'm like, ooh, that's interesting, because, you know, the first tournament tee shot of a championship, all right, maybe a little bit nerves or whatever happens. He ends up birding that hole. It's like, oh, we got this. Hole number 2, which was a par 3, hit a decent shot that was like on like the fringe, but had a nice putt and then rolled in like a 5-footer for par. I'm like, good, we're minus 1 now before the third hole. We can afford a bogey. So he gets up to that hole. It's a par 4. He ends up, you know, knocking it right next to the hole anyway and pars it easy. Oh, got it. I read the fine print, which is basically reading the bet itself, not the fine print. It actually read he has to birdie or par or I think it was par or better on each hole. So like, and it's now, grant the bet won, but as I was watching again, my thought process was birdie the first hole, good, we can get a bogey, like I don't care if you bogey the second hole, and there, and then it would have been funny because it would have ended. I'm like, you know, how did I lose that bet? Because that's how usually, Kevin, they've given it multiple times that I bet in these majors, is first three holes, like Tiger, just be par or better after three holes, so you can go birdie bogey, easy win. If we're today, with Rory, birdie, bogey, would have lost, even though you were that's one crazy. Under. So, yeah, I didn't read it correctly, but it's still one at that point. And it's funny, like, I was like, oh, yeah, he rolled in that 6-footer for bird for par. That's nice, because that helps us. Like, that would have been a losing putt if he missed it, or losing bet.
Yeah, that's incredible. Someone sent me a ticket today. It was 12-1 for someone to like, break the course record and shoot a 62. And you just get it, like, day one, this guy Xander goes wild. I mean, which is pretty remarkable. What does Scheffler have to shoot to be the favorite after today? 7 under?
Something in that range. Now, here also, rain in the forecast this week. We had Charlie Hulme on the show, which is part of the Smiley Show. And he was telling us, like, the course really can be had this week. Rain's in the forecast. Like, the predictions anywhere, Kevin, between if you were just surfing around, 12 under for the winner, up to, like, 20, minus 20 for the winner here. So this golf course, there is a chance to get after it. Now, just to lead you up to Scotty, Bet365 was a plus 140 super boost today to have over 4.5 birdies, which means eagles as well, on the day. And I was like, you know, I don't know if I want to bet that. And within, I don't know, an hour of them teeing off and seeing what Xander Schauffele was doing, I went right over and bet it immediately. I'm like, this course looks like you can really get after. And keep in mind, it's not 5 under. He can be 3 under with 5 birdies and 2 bogeys. So it's just about making birdie. Just want to see if he gets out to a good start today. But we'll talk more Scheffler, and also, more importantly, that NBA game tonight. What a banger is it going to be? And also follow up a little bit on Mavericks and Thunder to keep the people in the loop. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I mean, Hall & Oates is playing us out of the break right now, and I just, like, I can't even, it was like I'm watching a video game. We're worried about what Scottie Scheffler is going to do today, right? Scottie Scheffler's on the first hole. Hasn't played golf in a couple weeks, just had a kid. Maybe he's got his mind on other things. Bomb right down the center. It's about $180 to $190 out on hole number one. One bounce and in the cup. Eagle, to start his tournament, he's minus two right now. Kevin, I don't, like, that really just, because I was saying to myself, like, oh, that looks good flying in here. And maybe he lands it within 3 or 4 feet. One bounce in the hole, minus two, here comes the shark.
Don, he's down to plus 2.8. It went right back to 3-1. Don, he's 3-1 now to win the tournament.
I can't believe this.
Donnie, the guy, Donnie's T16.
One bounce, Kevin. And when I say the one bounce, it's not like, ooh, did he hit the front of the green? He landed that thing like 2 feet from the pin, and it bounced in. Like, dialed in right off the bat in my face, which, again, I can't say it's my favorite part. You couldn't tell if that guy just double bogeyed the hole, and he just holed out for an eagle on his first hole in a major championship. Like, no emotion. Like, eh, that's good. Let's get to the next hole. Deep breath. I need more out of him. I need more out of the shark out here. I don't even know if is he called the shark? I call him the shark. I might as well.
I like the nickname. Now see. Where's the number? Round one leader, Scotty, 18-1. Any juice, Danny?
Which, again, this isn't the way it's supposed to be, people. Like, when you're in tournaments, and he's, but the reason why we say this, because he does this before, like, huh, Scotty's 9 shots off the lead on a Friday. He ain't got that. Who's on Saturday? Well, by the way, Scotty's leading the tournament. Wait a second. What do you mean he's leading? He was just back 9 shots. How did that happen? And he's, oh, man. Well, then that's not even a birdie hole, Kevin. 487, the opening hole. That's like, all right, get the ball in the fairway, just get your round going. And if you birdie it, that's amazing. He eagles the hole. Is that an albatross? Yeah, it's an eagle. An albatross is a 2 on a par 5. No. That's outrageous, man.
Yeah, it is. That's really spectacular. Again, they dropped his odds immediately.
I almost
want to bet Xander minus 1,400, Donnie. Come on now.
Now, here's the tough part of that. Like, here's the tough part. Like, what happens if you bet? Exactly. Like, you're saying, you know what? I got a massive number on Xander. Pre-tournament, round number one to be the round one leader. I got 9 under par. You're like, this is going to be easy. Let me just tune in right away. Oh, Scheffler's going off real late in the afternoon, and he eagles the first hole. You're like, you've got to be kidding me.
What would be, truly dying, right? What would the live over-under be for a round score for Scottie Scheffler? Based on, so par 71.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what would 3 under be? You would shoot a 68?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So his over under would be what? 68.5, or would it be 67.5? Before he just did what he did.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know what his number. Yeah, exactly. You probably would be at somewhere around 68. Yeah, I would say for his first round. I don't think, because again, I don't bet it, but I can't imagine, like, oh, he's going to shoot 6 under. Like, you can't just assume that.
No,
in a major championship.
No.
Yeah, they don't, I would say that.
They don't price him like that. So I'm thinking his number would have been 68, 67 and a half. Because it says live, but everything's locked. Like, I don't know how often they open these round scores. I have truly no idea. But here we go. Are they going to pop this? Oh, wow. It's locked, but it says 66.5.
Yeah, that's the updated one now? Or is that what they said coming in or what it was?
See, that's a good question.
No, hold on. You might be right. This might be interesting because we don't expect guys to go bogey free. But the boost here on Bet365, Kevin, was 4.5 birdies, which meant 67-ish, right? And they wouldn't put 67. They would put the half on each side and juice it. So, maybe it is that low. Yeah.
So, but let me ask you this, though, Donnie. Mm-hmm. Do you think he shoots 5 under or better? I expect he does go 5 under.
No. Yes.
With the way the course has been had, I mean, the electricity of that start.
And it's not even like, Kevin, he went on a par 5 that's gettable. Like, oh, he eagled a par 5. Like, yeah, we see that a lot. Like, he probably stole 2 shots on the field.
That's a great point.
On the first hole.
How many people have eagled the first hole today? None?
No. It's impossible, almost. No, nobody. Like, nobody would do that the entire tournament.
Oh, my gosh. I'm just watching it. Man, the roar of the crowd. I don't know, man. This guy might be the one, Donnie. Man. He might be the one. Because you know how for a while you were like, man, this guy's awesome. Nobody cares.
Yes.
He goes on that heater that he went on, right? So people get real familiar with that name. And his first shot back in a month. is that? I don't know, DRS. He might be the one.
Look at and it, Kevin. It wasn't even luck.
Wow.
It wasn't like, hey man, it deflected off a tree or it rolled all the way up and got lucky. Like he piped his first drive and then just danced on the pin. It wasn't like, hey man, got a great bounce out off the bunker and it ricocheted 15 feet to the left and hit the stick and went in. That thing hit 3 feet from the 2 feet from the pin, bounced straight up in the air and went in with a dunk. That's incredible stuff to watch all the way through. So my bet looking good after round one. That's one, so I need what? Four more birdies over the final 17 holes that will be gettable. I'm thinking I'm liking my chances right now to have a nice little day to open up here in the PGA Championship. But let's get back to basketball and set the table. Yesterday, Mavericks 104, Thunder 92. Doncic was awesome, man. Back-to-back triple-doubles. This one, much more impressive than the last one in a losing effort. 31, 10, and 11. And SGA, just what he does. 30 points, 31 points. 32 points. That is exactly what he does. Wasn't good enough. Both stars played well, but Luka was the brighter star there, going back to Dallas now with the lead.
Yeah, that's all Dallas needed, right? Luka played to his standard. That's all they needed to separate off this team. They don't even need Kyrie, apparently, to score, right?
No, not at all.
I mean, it's incredible.
What's he averaging, 10 points?
He's averaging under 15 a game in this series. He's amazing. Averaging under 15 a game in this series right now. Yep. I mean, think about that. And this team is up 3-2 with multiple road wins against a team that was 33-8 at home this season. The Mavericks are very good. They're very good. Now, here's the thing. I think OKC has a hot offense game in them, but Dallas is playing well. They're back home. I think the Mavs can finish it out. I'm a little worried, though, going into the game as somebody who has a Mavs, you know, Western Conference future. But let me just say this, DRS, right? The likely matchups now are Dallas-Denver. Mm-hmm. We get to that series. If Luka's back, I don't know if he is, but if he's back, he's one of very few players in the world that can draw Jokic even, right, with how good Nikola Jokic is. If Kyrie Irving can essentially take off a series from scoring, he can outplay Jamal Murray. Things get really interesting in the West, Donnie. Real interesting.
I love the West. The West is so good to watch it play out right now. Like, I'm really enjoying it. And it's like, I don't really have any tickets in my pocket in either one of these series. I'm just hoping for like seven in both. Like, just take it all the way. Let's see the stars get after it. And then again, just give me seven games in the Western Conference Finals with the Celtics. Would love that. I mean, tire these guys out before they even get to the NBA Finals. But it's just so impressive. So let's start to set the table here for the game that's going to take place tonight. And it's fantastic. Nuggets, Timberwolves, 2-point line here, depending on where you're shopping at. Some are at 2.5 as a favorite towards the home team, T-Wolves. 205 and even some 204.5 showing up here as a total. Should be interesting to watch. I don't like a side in this one, Kevin, but you know what I really like? Anthony Edwards was 29.5 this morning. Haven't checked what it is now. There's one thing that I know. If the Timberwolves lose, it's not going to be because Anthony Edwards went 5 of 15 from the floor and was like, I just didn't have it tonight. I think he shoots 25-plus times tonight at home, feeds off that crowd, and is like, you know what? If we have to lose, I'm going out on my shoulders here. I love him to get into the 30s tonight. I really do.
And, yeah, 29.5, Don, is that the number?
That's what it was this morning. I haven't checked the updated numbers. But I'm just calling like an even. Like, I think he's in the 30s, which will cash that ticket. Because he scored 44 in the series and lost the game. So I don't like this. The reason I'm saying this, I don't like the side. Like, I can say to myself, it's one thing I do know. If the Timberwolves get 24 points out of Anthony Edwards, they lost that game anyway. But if they get 35 or 40, it's still a guarantee they won that game. That's why I like the total for him as opposed to the side.
Yeah, I think the world where he finishes with like 23 and they won, I mean, the final score is in like the 170s, right? I mean, so I get what you're saying, certainly.
Yep. We'll preview that next. Little Major League Baseball talk and around the hot topics we go right here on a Thursday afternoon edition of Moneyline on the Sports Grid Network. It's Donnie and Kevin in the afternoon. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
watching golf, having some fun, talking some NBA action. Denver Nuggets, Minnesota Timberwolves tonight. Game 6 of their series in Minnesota. And good part about it, we're winding down on the doubleheaders right now. So obviously a single game tonight. Doubleheader tomorrow night. Or excuse me, no, we don't have a doubleheader. Excuse me. Has Boston Celtics and Cleveland on the board. So, yeah. Again, tomorrow will be a standalone game with the Knicks and the Pacers. But what are your thoughts tonight? Do we see a game number 7? Because my thoughts this morning were, again, I don't like the side, but I am rooting Timberwolves because I want to see a game number 7. But it's hard to stop momentum. Like, as you said, like Minnesota comes in. 6 straight victories. Over. Say what you want about Phoenix. They were really talented. Blew them off the court. First two games in Denver, Minnesota, the better team over the Nuggets. Didn't even have Gobert in game number 2. Didn't matter. Oh, look, this series is over. 3 straight wins. It's hard to put that stop now. Like, if I said, Donnie, you have to pick the winner of this game, it's hard to go against the Nuggets. It is.
I get you. But again, Donnie, if I would have told you going into game 3, right, hey, pick the winner, Minnesota. Denver, you've been hard. It's hard to pick against Minnesota. So these things do ebb and flow. You're at, like, Donovan, put it like this. Denver's, would you project Denver to win all 3 games in Minnesota in this series? No, you wouldn't.
No.
Not before it started. So I think you got to try and factor it like that a little bit. And again, it's not. See, when Minnesota starts losing because everybody's playing well, like, okay, right? Like, I know it's like, oh, man, they lost a game where Ant had 44. Well, they did the stupidest thing I've ever seen at the end of a first half and were down 15 at the break. They put themselves in a massive hole in that basketball game. And then the follow-up game was Ant's worst game of the whole postseason, right? Yeah. 18 points on 5 of 15 shooting, 1 of 5 from 3. So, and Mike Conley was out. And Mike Conley's back tonight.
That's He's in been tonight, reported. Yeah.
So, I think Minnesota gets the job done here, DRS. I really do.
I would like it.
This is a 56-win basketball team that played Denver very well in the regular season, 2-2. Played them, and they played them well so far, right? They've played them well so far. Yes, you know, the championship punch. I got you here. But for Minnesota, it would be inexcusable to not force a game 7. To lose all now, 3 on your home floor. That's inexcusable.
Now, if they force a game 7, I just saw somebody knock a shot in off the brush shot here. Who was that that just knocked one in? Maybe they're showing something from previous, but it looks like somebody at lab. Well, must have been showing something from before. All right, we'll keep you posted because every time Scheffler's up now, I think he's going to knock in something from about a buck 80 out. We'll keep the people updated. Now, if the Timberwolves do win tonight, now, one of my favorite Timberwolves moments, which they haven't had very many of them, was Patrick Beverley. Can you, I mean, set the stage, Kev? Like, he's running around. Ready? This you know what I mean? Oh, look at that. We got pissed. We're into the actual playoffs. Jersey's coming off, whipping around the head, tossing into the stands. Are we going to be satisfied with that? Man, I need game 7. I need it. I need it. I need game 7 in the series because it's a great betting thing. Now, one thing as I can't get straight is a triple-double on Luka Doncic. You got back-to-back triple-doubles.
Yes.
Nikola Jokic, though. It's tonight the night. I mean, he's right around it. He's sniffing around it.
I was thinking about playing his points plus assists under Jokic. But they didn't move it up enough, Donnie, for me.
Yeah,
I thought his points, which is 29.5, would be maybe 30.5, 31.5. And his assist numbers that have been rolling a little bit more, you know, were 8.5 at the last look. That points plus assist prop, I think, was 38.5. I thought it would be in the 40s. So I'm not going to obviously play it over all of a sudden, right? But, again, I just think it's one of those games. If they hold him, Donnie, to 26-8, it's a comfortable under, right? I don't know. I'm surprised they didn't move those numbers a little bit more.
By the way, something's catching me off guard a little bit, and I laugh at it. Like, we're talking about Yankees and Juan Soto, right? Juan Soto's going to get a lot of money. You know his agent is, so looks like Jack Curry was reporting, like, with Hal Steinbrenner saying he wants Soto to be a Yankee for life and raising the idea of talking this season, he reached out to Scott Boras. Soto's agent says, we're always happy to talk with Hal. He's getting to know the Yankees organization, talking about Juan Soto, but his focus is on winning, man. I loved what they did to Boras in the offseason. Like, really froze his clients out saying, like, we're not going to stand for this anymore. Like, if you want to get the guy signed, there's very little difference, Kevin, to what these teams know the player is worth and what they're actually going to offer right off the bat and what that number turns into 4.5 months down the road 1 week before the season. So I loved what I saw of that. But it's like a Yankee fan. Like, even like Juan Soto is even so programmed to it, too. It's, and you saw it with Aaron Judge, like, like, it doesn't matter in your negotiations if you come out and say, I don't know if I want to be a Yankee. The organization doesn't panic. It's like, well, you know, we'll try to make it right. And it doesn't make a difference either, Kevin, if you say, my whole goal is to be a Yankee for the rest of my career. Even if you know behind the scenes it isn't going well, it just helps you with the fan base. I just love that Soto and Boris are so disconnected. Like, we work for Major League Baseball. We don't work for a team. Like, they're just like independent franchises, and whatever franchise pays us the most, we don't really care. We're mercenaries. It's so easy, Kevin. Just ingratiate yourself. Like, why can't Soto come out and be like, this is the, even if he doesn't mean it, this is the best organization I've ever been a part of, and look at us winning, and I'm having success. Like, this is the place I want to be. It just gives so much better vibes than, yeah, you know, text and call lines are open, and yeah, he's getting to know the team.
Yeah, I think that's Boris. I don't know. Maybe I'm blaming it on Boris because I want to, but that's what I blame it on. I think that's the message being sent. And I think it's silly because the idea is, oh, man, you hit the open market, you're going to have all the leverage in the world, right? Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? Unless you have been given a promise that the Mets will top any offer the Yankees make in order to stick it to the Yankees, and that way they can get back in the big free agent market, you have all the leverage that you need here against the Yankees. Because fans are happy. You know you needed to add a piece like Juan, which, again, I mean, oh my gosh, I mean, can you... See, now I'm getting angry again. Years, years of Donnie and I saying the Yankees need to go make a real move, right? Donnie saying it from an obvious perspective. Me, apparently the only Yankee fan not enamored with 21-year-old kids in AA. I mean, again, like, I can't even figure it out.
Where's Dominguez at these days?
No, where are any of them, Donnie? Of these guys. Kleber's batting 11th in this lineup. Cut it out.
Yes.
Okay? Yep. You see what happens when you bring a superstar in?
It's amazing how that works. Bring a good player in, trade him for a pitcher named Michael King, who got absolutely shelled in his last start. King for Soto. Yeah, exactly. I mean, where is that guy? Overseas? Korean Baseball League? We don't even know at this point. Let's end the show in style. Coming up next, it's Donnie Kevin in the afternoon right here on the Sports Grid Network, baby.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's go get them shots. Hey. Ah, a little Jay-Z. Do you remember that video? Danica Patrick, Dale Earnhardt Jr., which leads us right in the Rangers, Carolina. Smooth transition right there, Kevin. You get it? There you go. Minus 166 favorite for Carolina tonight. She's Shesterkin. I need to see seven games here in this series, by the way. And you know what I need to see seven games? In Madison Square Garden and the Rangers lose. I mean, that's everybody wins when the Rangers lose. Is that the case? You're not a Rangers fan. Stop it. You're not a Rangers fan. Don't tell me you are. Never heard you talk Rangers one time.
No, I don't think, just knowing like actual Rangers fans, I couldn't qualify myself as such, DRS. Mm-hmm. But I'm not rooting for the Carolina Hurricanes. Come on, that's craziness now.
No.
That's craziness now. But I was labeled a Rangers
50%
fan.
Boost tonight?
You know what I mean? What are you going to? Well, just like if I had a Ranger
fan.
Team.
I mean, who's a Ranger fan here? Is Lisa a Ranger fan?
I mean, at the network. Do we have a Ranger fan at the network? It's a good question.
Yeah, there you go. It's Chris behind the scenes. Friezo, I don't think, is a Ranger fan.
Oh, isn't JP a Ranger fan? I don't think he's a Flyer.
He is a Knicks fan. Yeah, he is. Yeah, he lives in the Philadelphia area, but yet this guy's repping New York out here. I mean, crazy.
Interesting.
In the streets. Interesting. Exactly. That's why it now takes off like Thursdays and Fridays. This can't be a part of it. Too much stress in the New York lives at this point now. Edmonton, okay, Dub. That's my squad out west. They got a big game against Vancouver tonight. Minus 146 favorites there, 6.5. That's always a great series to bet.
Yeah, that Drysdale's my
guy. He is my guy. Like, you know what? You know, now that you said that, like, I look at my wall right now, Kevin, and I'm waiting for some of the Philadelphia Eagles jerseys to change numbers because they're not sticking with the numbers they have now, if you catch my drift. There's a couple of those guys I need to put on my wall. But I got DiNucci on my wall, Allen, which is actually Josh Allen from the Buffalo Bills, and DeSean Jackson up. Should I not have a Drysdale jersey in, down here in the studio? That's my guy.
Here's what I would say.
He's a free agent, I think, at the end of the year.
Yeah, I would put a couple dollars on them to win the cup. And if they do, then you get the Drysdale jersey.
Yeah, he's got to do something for me. Like Will Shipley's already has a place. Like, I'm dusting off right now to be a part of that wall, you know, for reasons that, like, just make me so proud to be an individual in this day and age. I mean, doing big things out here in the streets, Kevin. That's what we do. That's really
what
we do.
Are you going to play the college football game? Are you going
to
play?
Oh, yeah, you meant to ask me that. Yeah. No, I'm not going to play the college football game.
Because if I was
20 years earlier, I would have played that college football game. Yes.
How about this? We do a mini tournament, okay? Me, you, Ben, Lisi. Little start in the semis. We do a little mini tournament. A little college football 25. Yeah, we'll stream it.
Yeah, Lisi's got to be Akron, though. Lisi's got to be Akron. No. Like, and that's the team he gets to stick with, yes.
You got to imagine. Does he run to LSU, Texas Tech? Oh, here's the thing, Donnie. If you played Lisi, don't you think you'd be able to predict all his play calls?
Yes. It would be backwards. He would be like, okay, let me go dynasty mode with Caleb Williams, but he'd run the fullback dive halfway through the game saying that's what you got to get going for the game. See what I mean? He would really throw me off. Yeah, he would throw me off. Like, hey, let's go five wide spread, but that's what our team does. We're going to go fullbacks all game long, hand in the dirt at that point. Yeah, he would be a tough one to play against.
No, just again, you just got to go, man, the amount of times I miss it, and it'll be back before you know it. But listening to him try and justify what coaches should be doing based on his bets, where a team is up 15, he's like, exactly. I'm telling you, they need to keep coming out firing right now. I understand it's 6 minutes left in the game, but they got to keep throwing.
Now, here's one of my favorite times of all time. This might have been like the first 5 weeks of the show. This guy was on here with a straight face going, a lot of people like the Carolina Panthers this week, whoever they were playing, really threw me off my game midway. And the fact that his response is, I'm getting emails, just took the cake right there. Like, what email? Emails coming back? Carolina couldn't even get first downs at that point in the season. He's like, a lot of people out there really digging Carolina. So, yeah, that show's coming back sooner than later. My goodness. Are we going to be tired, Kevin, after week one? Are we going to be in the studio Thursday night, Friday night, Sunday, and then Monday night, like right off the bat?
I don't want Fridays, brother. I hope you enjoy.
There's no way. That doesn't even count.
Isn't that game at 3 p.m., though, Don?
No, it's 8 p.m. start. It's 8 p.m. start.
No, it's not.
You were lied to it. Yes, you were lied to it. It's a primetime game on Friday night.
How?
Yes.
Whoa. How's that possible? What time is that?
The time difference isn't that big. Brazil's not that far off of what we are. Maybe an hour or two at most.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
That's a primetime football game on a Friday.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, my goodness. It's
you tried to tell
different.
Me that months ago. Yeah.
Wait a
you
minute.
Tried to tell me like a long time ago. Like, that's going to be a 3 o'clock game. Like, why would the NFL do that? 3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon? No.
Wait.
That's a primetime game, and you will be working in studio in Bellwoods.
Donnie, guess what time that is local? Just did this 9:15 kickoff. The people of Brazil staying up late on a Friday.
I can't believe they will. Oh my goodness. That'll end another banger of a show on a Thursday afternoon. Right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Moneyline tomorrow. We'll be back on a Friday to update everything that's hot in the sports world. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good afternoon. Peace.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.